This is a Do Weekly podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners
by small business owners.
I'm Natalie MacLees.
And I'm Alex Vasquez.
And we're awesome.
One half of us is awesome because one half of us is getting cookies.
Yeah, so I guess first things first, Alex.
What is that sound, Natalie?
That is the wrapping on a beautiful tray of cookies that I baked for you.
Or option B, it's the sound of me winning because I'm awesome and I've never failed to do a challenge yet.
Okay, don't rub it in.
I think I just did, and these are beautiful cookies, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Pinterest, for brown butter, salty, triple chocolate cookies.
I'm going to eat so many of those. I have a very red face right now. I look like a raccoon. I just finished the Ragnar Relay this year. I'm very happy. I'm very sore, but I'm also feeling plenty victorious because not only did I finish that race, but I defeated Natalie and had her make me cookies.
A winner.
I'm a winner all the way around.
See, there's like salt sprinkled on the top of the cookies. I would just like for you to know that that is no ordinary salt. That is fleur de sel that I brought back from Paris.
So that's Parisian salt?
That's Parisian salt.
Man, I feel so special. Well, Natalie, thank you for being gracious in defeats.
Gracious loser.
A gracious loser. Even though this wasn't a competition, right? Like, let's just remind listeners or listener that this came up. You made me cookies because there was some sort of thing where you thought I was going to be the first one who didn't do a challenge. And it ended up being you.
It ended up being me.
And let's be honest, between the two of us, you're really the most responsible one here. I'm the one who makes a lot of poor life decisions.
I'm not perfect or anything.
That's not where... You know what? We're going to leave it right there. Okay? We're going to leave it at cookie. And it is going to be awesome. I'm going to eat all of these. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What do we talk about next here? Are we going to talk about last week's challenge?
We are.
Huh. It's like I know how this thing works now.
Which was to update social media accounts or set up social media accounts if you didn't have them.
Yeah, and this one was really good because, you know, as someone who professes to do a lot of digital marketing and whatnot, it's important for my business to have social media accounts that kind of reflect what I do accurately. Turns out I had neglected some of my social media profiles.
As we discovered last week.
Bad business owner. So I went through and updated mine, but I found some stuff that I thought was interesting. And Natalie, you did too, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I found out some stuff that we should definitely chat about.
Do you want to start with yours first?
Sure.
What accounts did you do? And I'll take a look at those.
I updated my existing Twitter account and my existing Facebook page, which actually weren't too bad because I did a little redesign of my website not too long ago, and I had updated my social media profiles at that time. And then I set up a brand new shiny Instagram account.
Ooh.
Which has one post on it so far. And I attempted to set up a LinkedIn page, but I ran into a roadblock.
Ooh. So we're gonna get into all of that right there. So I'm gonna start with your Facebook account.
Okay.
So your Facebook page. Now this is your business page. I noticed that you've been putting stuff recently regarding the podcast and everything. The pod. Or do we get
the
to
pod.
Say do we get to say pod if we're under 10 episodes, or do we have to be over 100? I don't know. Anyway,
I think you might have had to have worked for Obama to use that.
Well, who's to say that we still can't? I mean, maybe one day.
I know, the Obama Foundation.
Yeah, if he's listening, we're available. Hey, work with us. Okay, so you
he's
updated
running
this
the other way.
He should. So you updated this with the cover image from your website. So the cover image is there. The logo, I feel, is updated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you also put some information in the about area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good. So all the contact information looks up to date and everything.
I added business hours.
Business hours, which is good, right? To set the appropriate phone expectation. Number. Phone number. Yep. So this all looks good to me. Yeah, I think that this is, at a minimum, this is what you want. And do you, so let me ask you this, and maybe you haven't gotten too far down this, but as far as content that you share on Purple Pen versus what you might share personally, do you make a distinction on what content you put on your page, your business profile page versus what you would put on your personal page?
That's something I'm going to be working on going forward.
Okay.
I haven't been sharing very much at all mm-hmm. on my Purple Pen social media accounts, but I'm working on changing that and thinking through which things that make sense to post there.
Okay. Yeah. And at a minimum, that's all you can do. So yeah. Just as long as you kind of think it through. I think it looks great.
Yay. Thank you.
And so moving over to your Twitter account. Mm-hmm. So again, there's a consistency with the cover image, which I love. What kind of flower is that?
Those are forget-me-nots.
Forget-me-nots, forget-or-nots, forget-us-nots. So everything here is updated. Again, the description here is updated, which I like. There's people you're following. One person likes you, and it's me. I like you, Natalie.
How fancy.
I'm so fancy, and so are you. Oh, and in fact, I'm not following you from my personal account. And you know who's going to be doing that? Right now?
Live.
Doing it live.
Yay.
Yay. No, this looks good. Those were the two primary ones. And then you set up another one. So
set up Instagram.
So you set up Instagram and I brought that up. So this is a brand spanking new Instagram account. So it's instagram.com/purplepenla.
Well, I've even got 7 followers.
You even have 7 followers. And I'm following you. I'm one of them.
Yay.
High five.
High five.
What do you think you might post here?
I'm working on a redesign right now. We're doing a bunch of hand-drawn drawings that I'm going to be scanning in and making part of the design. So I'm going to put up some pictures of that process.
Yeah, I think that this is a great medium. Instagram is, like, it's interesting to see how businesses have adopted and adapted to the platform to tell their story, walking through their process of creating things. And so I would love to see those photos on there of you, of your creative process, the things that you're making. I've started using it more to tell the story of how I run my business mm-hmm. and everything. And, you know, I've seen a lot of benefit there. It hasn't led to any additional business. I think it's a great tool to kind of connect to your people, your community.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
You know, it might not be something where somebody sees a post on Instagram and, oh, I must hire this person. But I think it does contribute to how they think about you and how they, the impression that your business makes on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So overall, I think great job. And do you feel like now that you've updated these profiles, it gives you a little more motivation to keep them up to date?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's funny how that works, posts. Huh?
Keep them all shiny and new.
You said you had a LinkedIn one?
Yeah. Well, I tried. And the issue I ran into is I have a home-based business that I just run out of my home. And LinkedIn would not allow me to even click the save button to save what I had edited on a business page without a physical address. So I do have a PO box, but it wouldn't accept that. It needed a physical location that was going to be public. And obviously, I don't want my home address to be public.
Mm-hmm.
But then you let me know about a super secret post office hack.
There's a type of address that you can use with the post office where you can use the street address without the post office box number being part of the address.
There's a page on the post office of the website. There's just a little PDF form that it looks like you just download that and fill it in and drop it off at the post office to let them know that you want to use the street address. And it works similar to if you get a mailbox at like a Mailboxes, etc., or a UPS store or something like that, where the address is just the address of the store plus a box number. So it works like that. So it's the address of the post office plus number, whatever.
Yeah.
It looks like an office in a building.
I think it's called competitive street addressing for PO boxes.
Yeah, that's the U.S. government at work with that great name.
Yeah, yeah. They could definitely use some help with the whole naming thing. So are you gonna do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have to fill out the form and drop it off at the post office, and then once that's all set up, I'll be able to set up my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. Switching gears to me.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. I exist. I matter. I matter. So
you do matter.
So with LinkedIn, I use the address at my co-working space because they're doing the mail for me. I have office space over at Cross Campus in Pasadena, Old Town Pasadena. And Cross Campus is a, it's a co-working space and community. And they have a few locations throughout the greater Los Angeles area. You know, I was using my home address again for a lot of my addressing and whatnot, which not good. I had a client who he just wanted to drop in and say hi. Usually not a problem, but it's kind of weird.
It's weird when it's your home.
And it's also unannounced. It's like, hey, thanks for coming over, buddy. So yeah, I've got a LinkedIn profile and
you have 5 employees on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, you know, these are folks that have worked with me at different points. And so I've got my marketing intern on there and she's awesome. And actually the most recent post is from her. So what I did on here is I updated the profile picture, cause the logo's been updated. My big problem with LinkedIn, other than the fact that I hate this platform, just for so many other reasons that I won't get into, you know, they've got this cover image thing that you can put here.
Yeah.
And it's like, what kind of image goes there? It's
very awkwardly sized.
It's awkwardly sized. Then there's like this little message that they kind of put right on top of it.
Yeah, that they put over your...
Yeah, that they put they put over my cover image. And I updated the About Us section. You know, there's a paragraph that I'm using consistently on my social media profiles.
Okay.
That's basically it.
Yeah, this looks nice. And I see that you belong to WordPress Experts and an active campaign group.
Mm-hmm.
You have your specialties listed on here. I have a connection at your company, which is you.
Hey, look at that. Go us. Go you.
And
go
then me. You have some posts up here. Yeah. Now, are these things that you're putting on LinkedIn directly, or are these feeding in from your blog?
So you can feed these in from your blog. It usually takes like some other integration to make that happen. I'm a big fan of CoSchedule. CoSchedule is managing that for me.
Nice. So that keeps it up to date automagically.
Automagically. Just put it in the calendar. One of the things that you caught, Natalie, was when you looked at my website, when you looked at digisavvy.com, you asked me, what's the deal with your G+ or your Google+ thing? Because I was linking to it and I wasn't linking to my Instagram.
Yes.
So I switched that out. I took it off the website and I replaced it with Instagram, which I've been using a lot more. This profile was out of date. It definitely said I was in Orange County and
it still did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all updated now. It looks all nice and shiny.
Yeah, it's all spiffy and shiny. So
pictures of you from the insane race.
Yeah, from the insane Ragnar race, and I'm looking especially sassy in that one. In this case, I am really trying to tell a story about, you know, me as a business owner, about the company and what it does for people. So that's what I'm doing with it right now. And then just trying to be very engaging and talking to folks.
Yeah, I think it looks really good.
Well, thank you.
For my own personal account, I think that I had shied away from this post of you at the race. Like, that's a personal thing. And I think I had shied away from sharing that kind of thing. But I actually think it's kind of fun to see that the person that you're going to do business with doesn't just sit in an office that I chain to a computer all the time, but they actually have this, you know, interesting life and these things that they do. And I think it adds another dimension to your public image of your business.
You know, in that, I think that's an important component when social media is just a part of our lives now. When we were still trying to figure out how to best use it, for me, I was following everyone, everything, sharing, retweeting without really much of a thought as to what I was sharing and who I was following. With my personal Twitter account and my business Twitter accounts, removed everyone I was following. I did that like a year or two ago. I just stopped following everyone on each of those accounts. Then I was very selective as to who I followed, and I wanted to follow people and businesses that I thought were very thoughtful in the content that they shared, that they created. That personal aspect, I think I guess what I'm getting at is with our social media profiles and whatnot, it's very important to be authentic with that and tell people, hey, this is who we are. This is what I do. And I thought about that very thing before I posted this photo, but I was really proud of it and I wanted to share it. And I want to let potential clients know that I'm kind of a badass.
And you were part of a team that ran 200 miles?
Yeah, 200-ish miles is what they say.
200-ish.
Yeah. I'm going to get that ish in there. And then lastly,
look at this shiny new Twitter page.
Yeah.
It has your new logo. It doesn't say you're in Orange County anymore.
Well, a little bit of that. That's all I did. So I just put a new cover image up there, updated the logo because the logo was like 5 years old, 6 years old. Yeah, obviously I'm not in Orange County.
Yeah.
This was just neglected, even though on this one I do post more content to it. And then lastly, Facebook, again, updated cover image, logo, location.
You got a phone number.
Got a phone number now.
Closed now, but you open tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm definitely open tomorrow. So I did business hours. I updated the about section for this page. Yeah, so I mean, this was actually a really good exercise. I feel there's you forget, right? If it's not on your mind, you forget about it. So how do you feel about it overall?
I feel like this was really good. I had kind of gotten away from using my social media accounts, and this kind of forced me to reconsider that and take another look at how that could be a part of my business. Part of the reason I got away from it is because I just felt so overwhelmed and I had so many things on my plate and it was just one more thing. And it doesn't need to be stressful. You know, you don't have to post on there 10 times a day. It could be, you know, once a week that you share something. And as long as it's something meaningful and authentic, that's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, you know, something that's adding stress. It's just a way to kind of open up your business a little bit and let people peek in the door.
Perfect. Yeah, I totally agree. So I would be interested to know how our follower listener people did with this
thing. Listener people.
Yeah, I don't know. What do we call them? If they exist.
Listeners, I guess.
Listeners? Yeah, dear listener, we'd like to hear from you. How did you do? Why did you do it?
Send us your new social media profiles. We'll check them out.
Yes. Like, we'll even leave a comment.
Ooh, we'll follow you.
And we'll follow you. Straight up follow you. Yeah, let us see those. Tag us at Do Weekly Podcast. Cool. So we have something going on this week, right?
We have the most fun challenge this week.
Okay. What's the challenge?
Well, we have been putting people through their paces, making people do lots of work.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
This week, your challenge is to schedule a vacation by the end of the year.
Womp, womp, womp. A vacation?
A vacation, like a real vacation.
Okay, wait. What's this concept of a real vacation versus a fake vacation? A vacation? Like, what is this vacation you speak of, and how do I find one?
When I say a real vacation, I mean one where you are not working, where you're not checking your emails, you're not doing conference calls, you're not, I'm going to do a little work before breakfast.
Ooh.
You're off.
Ooh.
You're on a break.
How does that work? Seriously, like I get hives, I get cramps in places I didn't know I could get cramps if I'm not checking my email. I'm not joking. It just fucking bothers me. If I know that there's a support ticket that came in, I better respond to this.
And are you the only person on earth who can respond to it?
No. And even if I was, does it really need a response right then and there?
Yeah. So when is the last time you went on a trip without your laptop?
Couldn't tell you. It was probably before I had a laptop. Oh, you laugh. I'm not. No, I think the last time I traveled without a laptop was before I owned a laptop.
Do you feel like when you go on trips and you have your laptop and you're checking email, do you really feel rejuvenated and rested when you come back to work?
No. No, not in the truest sense. Not in the truest sense, because to think about work and the things that I have to do, there's a space in your mind that you have to create for that. And it occupies space. When you're living kind of freely, you're in a moment and you just kind of let everything melt away. That's a much different experience, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, that's so few and far between. The only time that happens is when I eat four too many edibles, which is another podcast. Eat edibles. Kidding. We're not advocating for that. I am. But
only where it's legal.
Yeah, only where it's legal. I went on vacation to Singapore.
Yeah, just a couple months ago, right?
Just a couple months ago. Had the laptop with me. I had phone calls that I had to make. I was stressing out about stuff. You went to Paris last year, though, right? Or year before last?
Year before.
Okay.
Well, I went to Spain and Paris.
Now, did you take your laptop with you?
I did not.
Do you think we can start with you going to Paris without your laptop, why you did it, how you did it, what the considerations were and everything? Because I have questions here. I'm not sure that I'm on board with this thing. I'm having anxiety just thinking about it. It's true.
It's so lovely, though.
Oh, okay. So tell our listeners about your trip to Paris.
Okay.
And how you planned for it, if you planned for it, and how it all worked out without having your laptop.
I think it requires a lot of planning. I planned the trip. Kind of vaguely plan the trip, like, oh, I want to go to Europe this fall, at least 6 months in advance. But I had pretty solid plans for the trip with dates and everything, at least 3 months out. Started giving my clients and customers a heads up that I was going to be out, because it was 2 weeks that I was gone, and started giving them a heads up. And any new prospective clients that I spoke with, let them know, well, I'm going to be out for 2 weeks in November. So that's a consideration. Or I'm sorry, it was October. Was just really honest and upfront with it. If you're not springing it on people, they handle it just fine. Nobody likes a surprise at the last minute. Nobody wants to hear on Friday, like, oh, by the way, I'm out for 2 weeks starting Monday.
No, yeah. Right? Yeah, makes
but
sense.
But if they have plenty of warning, like going on a vacation, taking time for yourself, that's a normal part of life. And your clients and customers recognize that you need that just like anyone else. So I think the first thing is to plan it, plenty far in advance, and just keep reminding people because they forget.
Okay. So there's a planning aspect. So there's communicating with your clients, which mm-hmm. like I definitely didn't do that when I took my vacation. I was just like, okay, I'm gone. And again, that's just because I figured, well, if there's something that comes up, I'll just deal with it as soon as I get to it. But for you, so my questions to you are, so you planned several months in advance, you started communicating with your clients, you sent them emails like, hey, I'm going to be on vacation from this time to this time. Now, when you communicated with them, what expectation did you set? Did you say, well, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. If an emergency happens during that time, run around and scream and deal with it.
Definitely panic. Yeah.
Well, so what was your coverage plan? Like, you didn't have a laptop. You knew that you were going to be gone. So what did you plan to have in place to support your customers if in the event something came up?
So I had someone else who does the same kind of work that I do, who was my coverage person. If anyone tried to call me or email me during the time that I was gone, they would get, an autoresponder from email or a voicemail saying, I'm out of the office. If it's an emergency, you can reach this person and that person's contact information. Otherwise, I will deal with this when I'm back in the office on this date.
Okay.
So it was like another reminder that I'm out, but they had a contact person that they could get in touch with. And it was, one of the people that I collaborate with relatively regularly who had already done a lot of work on different projects and was familiar with, had access to servers and everything that she might need. And so in 2 weeks, obviously I got maybe even hundreds of emails and a couple voicemails, but only two people felt like they needed to reach out to her. And in both cases, it wasn't actually an emergency.
Yeah.
And she was able to say, well, I could, sit down and figure this out for you, but I think you'll be better off waiting for Natalie to get back.
Okay.
And in both cases, the client was happy to do that. But she was prepared if somebody's server went down or something, she was prepared to jump in and get that taken care of for her. So yeah, only two people ended up even getting in touch.
Okay, so you had a contingency in place. So not only did you communicate with your clients, but you also had a resource there to help. And I have resources in place. I have people that can handle this stuff. And it's just me not leaning on them. So that's another problem. And the thing is too, like, you know, when I was on my trip, I would assign this stuff to people. I still could have done that. I definitely did not do that.
Another thing I just want to throw this in because it seems like a good time to mention it.
Yeah.
Is another thing that you could have done in the weeks leading up to your trip, because you have a bigger team than I do. Whenever any of your team members brought something to you, instead of immediately answering it, you could have said, "What would you do if I wasn't here?" And kind of force them into that more autonomous mode instead of depending on you always for the answer.
Right.
How would you handle this if you couldn't get a hold of me? And then you could talk it through with them, and then that will build confidence in them that they know how to handle situations the way you would like them handled.
Well, and that's called empowering too. Like you're empowering your people to do their job. People should feel that. And I'm such a big proponent of empowering your employees, your contractors, whomever, right? Because, you know, it takes mental space to do all this stuff. And if you can give it to someone else, it is such a load off the shoulders that you can just kind of say, here's the thing, do the thing, and then it just gets done. And you're like, awesome. I love my life. Okay, so you planned your trip, you communicated, you allocated the resources for when you were gone.
Oh, and one more important thing we haven't mentioned yet.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
I set up a super secret Gmail account with a Google Voice that no one knew the address except my coverage person. And then that way, when I left, I took everything off my phone. I couldn't get my regular emails or anything. It was all gone from my phone. The only thing I had was this super secret Gmail account that only she knew, so that if she needed to get a hold of me for some reason, she knew how to get me.
Okay. That is a super awesome hot tip. So that's actually a brilliant tip. So they can get a hold of you wherever it is that you are in the event that it's absolutely necessary. But that's the other thing that I was going to ask you, is like, what other considerations are there? So what you're saying is, on your phone, which, you know, you are going to take with you because you need it to travel, but you took off all your social media, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You took off your email.
I left my Instagram because I wanted to share lots of photos.
Sure. But you took off your email. You took off your social media.
Yeah, disconnected all my email accounts except for this one super secret one.
Wow. Okay.
And then I actually normally on my phone do not have alerts turned on for emails because I just don't want that coming into my phone. But in this case, so I had only one email account connected now, and I left alerts on because that was a peace of mind for me that if she did try to get a hold of me, I would know it immediately.
Okay. Interesting.
And she didn't email me the whole 2 weeks, so it was fine.
Okay. I love it. That's a really good tip. Any other considerations or things? Because I feel like that kind of covers a big part of it, but, cause I have follow up questions into, you know, how you felt, while you were doing this.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, so are there any other tips like that you would share with someone like me who just can't seem to disconnect?
I would say if you have a business where things are seasonal, you know, you could definitely try for a slower time of the year.
Yeah.
For when you schedule your vacation, which I've found that there's kind of a rush around the time school starts in the fall, but then it quiets down a little heading into the holidays.
Yeah. Or post-holiday, my Singapore trip was super, super inexpensive. That was a benefit to traveling during a quieter part of the year.
I'm a huge advocate of traveling during shoulder season.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, kind of that time between the peak season and the off season.
So like when it's on season, do you call that next season? Do you call it belly season? Do you call it like private part season?
I don't think anyone wants to call it that.
Why the hell? You know what? Let's not burn any more time on the shoulder season thing. Sorry, I'll research that on my own. And if any
early
listeners,
early spring, late fall is great shoulder season for Europe.
This thing is going to bother me.
It's different depending on where you're going.
Okay. I think those are some great tips. And, you know, if you're a brick and mortar, obviously you can close up shop or you can hire someone to kind of run the shop while you're away. Neither of us are brick and mortar shop owners. So you still got to make money, right? Yeah. Like money's nice. I mean,
money's always good.
Money's always good.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When you're a business owner, nobody's giving you paid vacation days. So you have to make those arrangements yourself. You have to figure that out.
Well, and you know, it's not cool. It just isn't cool to work all the time.
It's not healthy for you.
That's so 1999.
1999.
Is it? I have no idea.
I'd say it's more like 1988.
Are we doing this? Are we going to argue about this? It's so 1977. Yeah, it's just not cool to pull all-nighters. It's not cool to
work 60, 70 hours a week.
Yeah, and, you know, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, he was a store manager at a Virgin Records store. He told me that his other contemporaries or, you know, other people who did the same work that he did, other store managers, you know, would constantly work 50, 60, 70 hours a week. But the takeaway was, well, why can't you get your work done in 40 hours a week? What the hell are you doing that you can't do it in 40 hours a week? Just don't overwork yourself. Take the time it takes to do your work, but don't overwork yourself and give yourself a vacation. Yeah.
Downtime is, it's not a luxury. It's a necessity. You're not a robot. You're a human being and your brain needs a break.
One of the things that you do, Natalie, that I really appreciate, because you're a person with a lot of hobbies. I feel so basic and boring. Like I never have anything to talk to people about.
You just ran a 200 mile relay race.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear about me running. So I feel like some hobbies are more chattable than others. Chattable. Yeah. Is that a thing? Chattable?
We'll make it one.
We're going to make it one for this episode.
We're going to get that into the Oxford English Dictionary.
Darn tootin'. But you have a lot of hobbies and I think you do a pretty good job of living that life. You take time for yourself. So when you went to Paris without your laptop, did you feel any anxiety or anything? Did you worry about anything? What was that like? Was there a point in your career working for yourself that you were taking vacations with your laptop versus when you were doing it without?
I have taken vacations with my laptop, and that's usually a conscious choice. Like, I did a vacation just in January, close to the time that you went to Singapore, where I took my laptop with me because I just kind of wanted to stay on top of emails and things like that. And that, it was just a different, it wasn't a trip that I planned. It was like, I was meeting family members, so I didn't have as much control over what we were doing and where we were going and things like that. And so I, for that trip, I just felt like, I feel okay about this not being a complete break from work. And I'm just going to, I wake up early and I knew people would be sleeping in. So it just seemed like this is a perfect time that I could check emails and get, you know, an hour or two of work in the morning. And that seems fine. And I had just taken a regular vacation a couple months before. So I didn't necessarily want to have time completely out of the office again. It doesn't have to be one way or the other, but I would say at least once a year, you want to have a vacation that's a true vacation. That's total downtime. And I won't lie, I'm anxious at the beginning of the trip. Like a lot of, oh my gosh, what if the server goes down? What if this client hates me? What if I get fired? None of that ever happens. And you know, which isn't to say that it's impossible that it ever would, but I don't think it's nearly as likely as we tend to make it out to be in our heads. We have relationships with our clients and customers, and they're not gonna, you know, walk away from us because we were on vacation when something happened. And it's something you can work out when you get back.
Well, and if there's a breakdown like that anyways, I mean, it's not, as you said, it's not going to be the result of you taking a single vacation. It's going to be a number of issues that have cropped up and, you know, probably telling in and of itself that there's a much larger issue. Like, it's never going to be the vacation, as you said.
You know, and there's nothing saying that, depending on what comes up, there's nothing saying that it'd be something you could fix even if you were home and not on vacation. There's definitely been situations where, you know, a server's gone down or emails aren't being delivered, and it's something that's out of my hands.
Sure.
I can't fix anyway. We tend to kind of blow it up in our heads. And I do kind of, on the flight there, I tend to be like, oh, so many things could go wrong. But kind of once I get where I'm going and I start wandering around and trying new food and seeing new things, it's really easy to slip out of that.
Yeah.
And to just get absorbed in, you know, new people and new languages and new food and new experiences, and to just get really involved in that. And it's really nice to be able to do that, to just like wholly give yourself over to this experience of, you know, wandering down little back streets in Montmartre in Paris, or, you know, stopping into little shops to have tapas in Spain or whatever it is, and to not be constantly worrying that something's going wrong, to just feel confident that if something is going wrong, somebody knows how to get a hold of me. You know, very worst comes to worst, I can change my flight and go home. You can just kind of let go of it from there and just kind of relax and enjoy your experience and have an adventure.
That sounds like a nice fairy tale.
Yeah.
But, okay. But I think that this is something I definitely need to do. I absolutely have to do it. And
it is a lot of planning up front.
Let's get into this. So we've got a challenge this
week. We do. So it is April.
It's April.
So you've got 8 months left in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And your challenge is to schedule, should we say, at least 3 days?
3 days, at least, minimum.
That's a good starter.
Because that's
2 weeks is probably too much for some people.
2 weeks is probably too much. But I think 3 days, or like a 3-4 day, like a long weekend.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be out of the country. It can just be out of town.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Because you don't have those paid vacation days, you know, sometimes it's just not in the budget to go to Singapore.
Sure.
You can always hop in the car and drive 4, 5, 6 hours and get somewhere interesting.
Okay. So what's the challenge?
To schedule by the end of this week, you want to have on your calendar and some plans in place for a minimum 3-day vacation by the end of the year.
I like it.
A real vacation. No laptop, no email, no conference calls, nothing.
I feel like this is the sort of thing that we need to possibly have a call back about, or at least I'll need to call back about this and say, I took the vacation, here's what I did, here's how I planned for it. So maybe like a future recap of, of this sort of thing, of this particular challenge. But yeah, I like this.
It can even be a staycation at home.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. You don't have to go anywhere if your home is kind of like your home is your home and it's your sanctuary, then you can totally have a staycation.
But you still have to stick to the same rules.
Same rules. Like, you have to take your laptop over to your frenemy's
house.
I was going to say frenemy. You say cousin. That's fine. So just take it. You have to lock it up in a vault, put it away.
Get it off your phone.
Yeah, no vacations here.
Yeah, no vacations.
Just vacations. I think that sounds like a great challenge. I'm excited to do it because I want to go somewhere I haven't been. Or, you know, even like, well, like I was telling you, I was strolling through a particular neighborhood in Los Angeles, Mount Washington, which is very scenic. And, you know, there's probably an Airbnb up there. Maybe I could like a staycation, go to a different neighborhood and see how the rich people live in around Los Angeles and, you know, and just drink bubbly fizzy water and say, ha, I'm,
yeah,
like I'm a wealthy person.
There was 1 year where I didn't have a ton of money, but I really needed a vacation. And I just did an Airbnb up in Santa Barbara and just drove up there for like 4 nights.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah. And yeah, I totally think that's something that I can do. And hopefully the rest of our listeners will do it too.
Your first trip without a laptop.
Your first trip without a laptop. I know you can do it. I know I can do it.
You can do it, Alex. And I'm looking forward to doing it.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to trying it out too. Anything else before we sign off?
Give us 5 stars on iTunes.
Oh yeah. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, please. And then you can listen to us on Stitcher or
Google Play
or
Blueberry or TuneIn.
Overcast,
Pocket Cast.
And
all those.
Yeah, all of those. And then Bootleg Cast.
Bootleg Cast.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing, but you can totally not listen to us there too. So everyone, thank you for listening to us this week. Hopefully you're getting a lot out of this, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Boop. This is the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly... Fuck. This is the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owner. Fuck. Here, you do it. Fuck it, we're doing it live. Slate this fucker.
We'll do it live.
We're doing it live.